Amen. How many of you feel His presence? You know that He's here. If you know that He's here, can you say amen? You know, we were just worshiping just now, and I really feel like I have a word for some people. Is that okay? We'll do it quick, okay? I promise I won't take very long to share this evening, but I just feel like I have a word and I want to prophesy, because, you know, just now Angie prophesied, right? And how powerful was that? How many of you felt like something shift in the atmosphere when she prophesied, you know? And when there's a spirit of prophecy, right, everyone else will catch on to it. If I give the mic to Derek now, he also will start prophesying, okay? So I really feel like I have a word for some of you this evening. And if you don't mind, are you married to each other? Yes, can you please stand to your feet? And can you please hold hands with each other? And church, you know, I just want you to stretch your hands towards them, because as I was worshiping just now, the Lord gave me the word planted. And God is saying that He has planted you in His place for a reason and for such a time as this. And God sees your faithfulness. God sees everything that you've done in the days that you have done. And God is saying that as you begin to continue to be planted, I, the Lord, am going to release my blessing, my favor, my anointing upon you. There's an anointing upon your life to build people and to build communities around you, says God. And there's a fire inside of you, a fire that is going to be released into the community that is around you. So God is saying, just get ready and stay planted. As you begin to stay planted, maybe now may be a season of hiding for you, a season where nobody can see what you're doing, a season where no one notices you. But God is saying, as you begin to be faithful, God is saying that as you begin to grow, you're going to make a big impact with the people that is around you in your world. Can you just close your eyes? I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I just release your presence over the both of them. God, I also speak healing and I speak restoration over each and every want you over them and their families, God, in the name of Jesus. And as they begin to stay planted, God, Lord, I pray, God, that they'll begin to grow, Lord, that their families will begin to grow, and there'll be such an impact that would happen through their lives, Lord, that the fire that is inside of them will not just stay inside of them, but will be released into the people that are around them, into the community that is around them. In the coming days, says God, I'll begin to use you as a mouthpiece for me, says God. I'll begin to use you as a mouthpiece, says God. And God says that as you begin to be faithful to me and as you begin to be faithful to one another, God's going to begin to release His anointing, His presence, His power upon you. Church, can you begin to stretch your hands and begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to release the anointing of God upon them? Lord, we release the anointing of the Father upon them, God. Lord, everything that has come to remove the fire of God that is upon them, Lord, let it be removed right now in Jesus' name. Every work of the enemy that's been assigned to them, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. And we declare, let them walk into the destiny that you have for them. Let them walk into the call that you have for them. I, the Lord, am releasing breakthrough over your family as well, says the Lord. Stay planted, says God. Stay planted, says God. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Is that your son? Yeah. Can you stand to your feet? You just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, come and touch him, Lord. You know, bro, there's an anointing on your life. There's such an anointing on your life. And I just feel like the words of God are going to come out from your mouth like a fire. I don't know how you are. I've never talked to you or even met you before. But I feel that the fire of God is in your words. And even if you don't speak much, maybe you think you're very quiet or you don't have the capability to speak in a crowd, but God is releasing that anointing upon you. When the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he rose up and he began to prophesy and began to speak to 3,000 or more people. And that's what God is saying. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and your mouth and your words are going to be anointed, says the Lord. And God is calling you into a place of aloneness and intimacy with Him in this season, a place of devotion with the Lord. And I even see you in your room as you're beginning to spend time with the Lord, that there is worship on your life, says God. You are a worshiper, says God. As you begin to worship, all of heaven begins to join you in worship, and the angels come and worship together with you. As you're alone in your room, God's going to come and walk into your room, and the word of God is going to be released over you. And as you begin to release that word of God to other people into the places that you are able to, God's going to begin to anoint those words, and those words are going to go forth with the healing power of Jesus. You know, when God calls someone, He takes them through a process, and then he takes them into their destiny, into their call. And God is saying that this is the day that I'm calling you to serve me, to be a man, to be a prophet to the nations. And as you begin to go through that process, God says that His hand, His anointing, His favor is going to be upon you. You are anointed. You are powerful. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just remove every distraction that has come in front of Him. Even the things that the enemy would do to take away the call of God upon your life, we cancel it right now in Jesus' name. And we release you into the destiny that God has for you. We release you into the full purpose that God has for you. I even see you as a mentor, even talking to young people, rising up, preaching the word of God. And there's fire on your life, even for healing, says God. And God's going to develop that inside of you. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you begin to touch Him, Lord. Let your glory come upon Him in Jesus' name. Church, can you just release an anointing upon Him? Can you begin to pray in the Spirit and just begin to release the power of the Holy Spirit upon Him right now? In the last days, says God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. They're going to prophesy. They're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we just release that over this young man right now in Jesus' name. Lord, let him be a witness for your glory, God. Let him be a witness for your glory. And let him stay planted. God, we speak the purity of the Holy Spirit upon him. Let not the devil come near him in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare the power of the blood of Jesus over the entire family. Lord, we pray, God, for your blessing, for your favor upon them. God, Lord, let your hand continue to rest upon them. Let your faithfulness never waver from them. I just sense God saying, my goodness and my mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Do not be anxious about anything. I, the Lord, will create your steps, will lead you one step at a time as you begin to be faithful to me. Thank you, Jesus. Uncle David and Auntie Pochu, I think you don't need to stand. Just hold hands with one another. And I just felt the Lord say as we were worshiping just now over you, that the Lord has seen your faithfulness. And the Lord has seen how faithful you have been, even in loving Him, even in raising your children, the next generation of prophets and worshippers unto the Lord. And God is saying, this next season will be a season that I, the Lord, will lead you into. Maybe it may not look like something that you imagined it to be, but I see the angels of the Lord surrounding you. I see the protection of the Lord upon you. And God is saying that He's not done with you yet. I also see the comfort of the Holy Spirit just coming upon both of you. And God is saying that I am there, I am with you. My rod and my staff, they will comfort you. And everywhere you go and wherever you put your feet to, whatever you put your hands to, I, the Lord, will bless it. The favor of the Lord will be upon it. And the Lord will begin to lead your steps one by one. And don't fear, do not doubt, because I, the Lord, am part of your life. I see the hand of God so strong upon you and your entire family. And I see the steps that you're about to take ahead of you. Those steps will be ordered by the Lord. Those steps will be for the generations to come, says God. You are now not walking for yourselves, but you are walking for the generations to come. I see the anointing of a father and a mother of a generation, not just over your children and your children's children, but over a generation, an anointing of a generation that's upon you. And you know, the devil might have come and tried to distract you in different ways, try to put different things on you, but the Lord is saying, my presence is surrounding you at this moment. I am protecting you. My hand is upon you. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. No tongue that rises up against you will ever prosper, says God, because I am for you, and who can be against you, says the Lord. So arise, be bold, be courageous, because the Lord is with you. He is for you. His plans are good for you, says God. And in the coming days, I see that you are fathering and mothering a generation of young people. And as they begin to come around you, your life is beginning to speak to them. and their life is being transformed because of the grace and the mercy of the Lord that is upon you. Can we just release the favor of the Lord upon them right now? Can we release the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Church, begin to pray and release the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we release the comfort of the Holy Spirit upon them right now. Lord, in every difficult time, in every difficult area, Holy Spirit, would you come and comfort them, Lord? Would you come and hold their hearts in your hands? Would you come and surround them with your presence and your mercy? God is saying your better days are ahead of you. It's not behind you, but it's coming, says God. The good days, the great days, the days of favor and the days of the provision of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord are ahead of you. It is not behind you, says God. And your days ahead of you are going to be so much better than the days behind you. Lord, release your presence over them, God. We release your comfort over them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good and you are kind and your mercy endures forever, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence that is here. We love you. We know that you're so good, God. Tell him he's so good, church. Tell him he's so good. We love you, Father. We commit the rest of this time into your hands. In Jesus' precious name, we ask and we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let me drink water. All right, church. Don't you just love Jesus? You know, I was just thinking just now when we were worshiping, how blessed are we to be in Calvary Community Church? In a church that hosts the presence of God, where worshippers like wait to see what the Holy Spirit is doing before they sing songs, where the keyboardist is so anointed that she prophesies what's happening. How many of you know that what she prophesies is so on point that it is a new season, that there's nothing old that can come into a new season, and this is a new season? How many of you believe that this is a new season? If you believe it, then you receive it and it belongs to you, okay, church? It is a new season and God is doing new things. And we're so blessed to have leaders and pastors who love the Lord and who are led by the Holy Spirit and who host the presence of God. I'm so glad. Every time I come to church, I know the presence of God is there. I know Jesus is there. I know God will speak to me. And how many of you feel like you're really blessed to be here this evening? Amen. And last week, Pastor Jonathan preached and he talked about the season that we are entering being a season of the favor of the Lord. How many of you remember that? And if you're not here last week, please listen to the sermon on YouTube. God is releasing a season of favor over us as a church. Amen. And all the old things are going and new things are about to come. How many of you like new things? I love new things. I love the new season. I love the new anointing that God is releasing. I love our new keyboard. Can you see we have a new keyboard? And God is so good. He's releasing new things. So when new things begin to come, old things cannot be there anymore, isn't it? And I believe that God is releasing a new season. And as we step into this season, you see, church, Pastor John said last week that this season of favor is not just for him. Even though he has been experiencing it, it is for every single one of us. How many of you remember that? And so I believe, and I want to prophesy today, that in the coming days, every one of you is going to see the favor of God upon your life. You're going to see your debts cleared. You're going to see your company's deals that you've been waiting for years come to pass. You're going to see your family excel in the Lord. You're going to see the goodness of the Lord. You are going to see the favor of the Lord. You're going to see miracles. And some of you have been praying for salvation for so long, and you are going to see it in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen, please. Do you believe it? That's the season God is calling us to walk into. Amen. And as he shared that this is a season of favor and we're walking to that season, he also mentioned that we're coming back to the basics and to the pillars of what God wants to do in Calvary Community Church. And when he was talking about that, it involves every single one of us, from the front to the back, every single amazing person sitting here today, you are included in this, that we are going back to the basics of what God wants us to do to step into this favor. Remember, he was talking about the seven pillars. How many of you remember the seven pillars? What is the first one? Word. Okay, word. Second one, prayer. Then worship. And then discipleship. And then supernatural. And then generosity. And one more. Discipleship, right? Did we say discipleship? Discipleship. Did I say that already? Or did I say prayer? Oh, what's the seventh one then? Missions, yeah. Okay, so those are the seven pillars that we're going to be talking about. So in the coming weeks, and as we enter into the second half of the year, we are going to be talking about all these seven pillars. And church, can I just invite you on the journey that you need to be in this house at this moment, because God is pouring out His favor and you don't want to miss it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't want to miss the favor of God. You don't want to miss the goodness of God. Come on, tell them, right? And I want to invite you to be a part of us, or to be a part of us as we go through this journey of going back into the seven pillars as God takes us into a new season of favor. And everyone said, and as we step into the new season of favor, this week we're going to be talking about prayer. Okay, and I need you to talk back to me. So I need you, if you're encouraged, say amen. If you feel that it's exciting, smile at me. If you don't agree with me, just shake your head like that, then I can change my mind again. Okay, but I need you to preach together with me. Can you do that, church? You see, when I think about prayer, church, every one of us have a different explanation or meaning of prayer. Okay, I think I only have 15 minutes left, isn't it? But let's do this. We're going to do it fast, okay? So when we think about prayer, everybody thinks about prayer differently, right? Everybody thinks about prayer as, okay, we're talking to God, right? A conversation between us and God. And we think about prayer as we ask God for something, a need, and God answers our prayer and our needs are met, right? But when I think about prayer, church, I only think about one thing. And I think about intimacy when I think about prayer. Because prayer is never meant to be a one road, one way road. Like we talk to God, ask God for our needs, and then we just pray so that we are done with doing our quiet time, and then we can get along with our day already. But when I think about prayer, I always think about intimacy. And so today I'm going to talk about intimacy in prayer. Is that okay? And we're going back to the place where God is calling us to come back to a place of prayer again as a church, as the body of Christ. And when we think prayer, if your perception of prayer is negative, I pray that today, as we begin to get into the Word of God, God begins to transform our perception that prayer is not boring. Prayer is not a one-way thing where we ask God for our needs. And if God doesn't meet our needs, we then just give up or get discouraged and move on to the next thing. But prayer is more than that. You see, the first time Jesus mentioned prayer to His disciples and He taught them how to pray, it was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And this is what He says. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You see, church, when we think about going into a room and closing the door and having a conversation with a person, the only people we actually do that with is the people that are really, really, really close to us. Isn't that true? And why we close the door? Because we don't want anyone else to hear our conversation, right? Because it's so intimate, it's so alone, it's so private that when we go behind that door and we talk about something, we don't want anyone else to hear about it. And you see how Jesus tells His disciples, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and when you are alone in secret, that's when you pray to the Father in heaven. When I think about going to the room alone, I couldn't think of it in any other way except for when I go into the room alone with my husband. And we are alone and we share the most intimate things when we are alone together in the room. And I know sometimes if you have children, your children will come banging on the door. But that is your moment alone with your husband, right? Or your wife. Now, church, when I think about prayer, I think about prayer like that. It's a moment where I get to be alone with God. It's a moment where there's no one else there in the room that I can say anything I want about to him. I can understand what his heart says. But can I also bring you to the other side where if you are stuck in a room alone with someone that you don't know, it can be the most awkward, terrifying moment of your life, right? You see, that's why our God is not a God who wants us to worship Him from far. That's why He came and gave His only Son. And He says, in the last days, the church, my people, will know my voice. They will hear my voice. They will know me. They will know me and I will know them. So if you don't know God, there's an invitation for you to get to know Him. To get to know His heart, that's an invitation for you to get close to Him. In the book of James, it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Do you know if you take one step towards God, God takes 10 steps towards you. He doesn't wait for you to come close to Him, then only He's close to you. The moment you take one step, He rushes towards you. And so today I want to encourage you that prayer is not just a boring thing where you come into the room and you write your request to God and you give your request to God and then that's it. It's just between you and God and you get on with your day. It's a moment where you get to be alone with the lover of your soul, with the lover of your life. It's a moment where you get to talk to Him about everything and anything. It's a moment that sometimes you don't even have to say anything. And that silence alone is the greatest strength that will carry you through anything you're going through your life. What if prayer is that? What if prayer is that when you get into the room, you are asking God, Lord, show me your heart. How many of you want to know the heart of God? I want to know what He's thinking. I want to know what His heart says. I want to know what He's doing and where He's going. I want to be the most capable when it comes to God. And the best part is He allows us to do that. Because He said when you pray, go into your room and close the door. And when you are alone with the Father, then you pray and then He will reward you openly. That's the access that we have to God. And that's what intimacy in prayer means. You see, church, it's being alone with Him. And when I think about this, right, I think about something. I think about the story in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13, and it's the story of the 10 virgins. How many of you know that story? You see, when we talk about the pillar of prayer and worship and all of this, I think about the 10 virgins. I think about how 5 of them did not have any oil in their jars, and the other 5 had all stored up. And all of them were meant to meet the bridegroom, and all of them were meant to have a meeting and a face-to-face with the bridegroom. But when the time came, the 5 who did not have oil in their jars had to go and buy oil. First, they tried to borrow from those who had, okay? But those who had said, no, I don't think so, because we won't have enough. Also, so I think maybe you go and buy first and come. And by the time they came back from buying the oil, the bridegroom had already come, and they had gone into the room, and they knocked the door and said, can we come in? We want to see the bridegroom. But they couldn't enter into the room, and they couldn't see the face of the bridegroom, and they couldn't have that meeting with Him. Church, as we begin to get into the 7 pillars, and we're talking about prayer today, I want to ask you, how full is the jar of your oil? How full is the jar of your oil? Because with the amount of things that God is going to do, He's going to pour His Spirit. He's going to release favor over us. He's going to release the anointing over us and healing and salvation all across this place, not just here, but in our city, in our nation. We're going to need that oil as a church. We're going to need that oil. And can I just say, some of us have been running on a jar that is empty. That we don't have oil anymore. That's why when we go to our working place or when we're alone at home, we don't know how to spend time with God. We don't know how to love people anymore. We have been so discouraged. All our oil has been given out. That we are empty and we're running on no oil. And we cannot afford that, church. We cannot afford to be like that, because the bridegroom is coming. Jesus is coming. His favor is being released. And if we have no oil, if our oil is not stored up, we may miss that moment. And Donna said that just now in worship. Church, come on, let's worship. Let's not miss His presence. Do you know the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament? They totally missed the Messiah because they didn't know who He was. Do you know how many times Jesus tried to tell them who He was? He said, I will die and I will break down the temple and I will build it up again in 3 days. Right? And then what was the other indication that Jesus gave? He said that He talked about the bread and the wine, right? He talked about the bread, His flesh and His blood. He talked about His flesh and His blood. And He was talking to these people the whole time, right? These teachers of the law. And those are the teachers of the law who knew about the coming of the Messiah. And He tried to tell them so many times, I'm coming, I'm here, it's me. But they couldn't see it. And I don't want any one of us to miss out on what God is going to do. Because He is going to do. I'm confident of it. If you're confident of it, say amen. I'm confident. I don't want us to miss it. So we cannot run on jars that are empty, church. We cannot. And the only way for us to fill up our jars is if we spend time with Him. Is if we are alone with Him. This afternoon, I was just spending time with the Lord. I was just loving Jesus. And I was telling Him, Lord, like, you know what? I really don't want anything from You, God. I just want to love You today. I want to pour my heart out to You. And in my spirit, in that moment, I saw Jesus sitting in front of me. And I saw His feet right in front of me. And I just knelt down on my knees. And I began to, in my heart, in my spirit, I saw myself pouring out oil on the feet of Jesus. And as I began to pour out oil on the feet of Jesus, I began to minister to the person of Jesus. Do you think that we are the only ones who need ministering? The Son of Man wants us to minister to Him. Do you know that's what you're doing when you worship? When you begin to worship, you're beginning to pour your oil out on Jesus, not because He needs it, but because He loves it. He loves that communion with you. He loves that intimacy with you. And when you begin to worship Him and you begin to pour your oil out onto Him, do you know what happens? As you pour out your oil begins to get filled inside of you. And as I began to pour out my all on Jesus, I said, Lord, I just poured my all on You, Lord, on Your feet, Lord. I love You, Lord. I don't care whatever it takes, God. I just want to love You. I want to pour out my all on You. I saw Him begin to pour His all and new oil into me. And church, we cannot survive on old oil. We cannot. We need the new. The old and the new cannot mix together. Like what Angie prophesied, the old and the new cannot be mixed together. And we need to pour out our oil in order to be filled once again. And as we step into the seven pillars, church, I want to encourage you that every single thing that you do, as you begin to worship, as you begin to pray, as you begin to spend time with Him, as you begin to love Him, whatever you do, church, when you love someone, when you share the gospel with someone, when you ask them to come to church with you, all that is pouring out your oil. And when you pour out your oil, more oil is being filled inside of you. Your storage is growing. Your storage of oil is growing. So that one day, when the bridegroom comes, we will have oil and we will be burning. that we will not lose our fire, that we will not lose what we need to behold Him, to look into His eyes, to look at His face. Do you all know the Sunday school song? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I'll sing, keep me burning till I see your face. That we will keep burning until we see His face. Because let me tell you, life is crazy sometimes. It can throw us from left to right, to center, to up, to down. And because of life, because of everything that happens around us, we can lose our oil, we can lose our joy, we can lose the sight of Jesus, we can lose sight of Him, and we can just take a step back and a step back and a step back. And when the bridegroom comes, we will find ourselves not burning for Him anymore. How do you know if you're burning for Jesus? You cannot help but sing and worship Him. You cannot help but tell someone that Jesus loves them. You cannot help but invite someone to church. You cannot help but come and pray and worship together as a body. You cannot help but to wake up early in the morning and spend time with Him. Or at night, however you may do it. We need to keep burning for Him, church. We cannot lose our fire. This is not the time. This is the time to reignite your fire once again. This is the time that you will rise up once again and be everything that God has called us as a church, as a family, as a nation, as a city to be, so that when God pours out His Spirit, when God does revive, when God does miracles, when revival happens, we will see it with our eyes and we will not miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to miss it. Yes, I don't want to miss it. And you know, we're talking about prayer, right? Just now we were saying that prayer is intimacy with God. Then you may, some of you may think like, yeah, but yeah, we have needs, right? Life is real. Like, there's problems. And what about our needs? What happens then? Do you know, in John chapter 15, I love this verse. I love the whole chapter of John 15. If you can, go back, read it, memorize the whole thing. I remember Pastor Rajan made us all memorize John 15 last time. And he says in John 15, verse 7 to 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask anything you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You see, a lot of times we think prayer is asking God, God, today, right, I got this presentation, so I need you to help me, like, be good. I need to speak well so that people will be impressed by me and then they will give me the deal. We think prayer is that. But sometimes prayer is just abiding in God. And just, do you all know what's the meaning of abiding? Okay, let me tell you the meaning of abiding. Okay, I found the meaning. Anyway, we all know that the New Testament was written in... You all know, of course you all know. The New Testament was written in? I want to hear the back. The New Testament was written in? Brother Vincent, the New Testament was written in? Greek, okay. Okay, the New Testament is written in Greek. So when we look at the New Testament and we look at the word abide, we're going to look at the Greek meaning of the word abide, okay? So everybody say mano. Mano, not some Indian guy mano, okay? Okay, the word abide means mano. Okay, mano in Greek, that's the word. And it says this, to have permanent residence. To stay and to have permanent residence, to not leave, to dwell. That's the meaning of the word abide. So the Bible says, when you abide in me and I abide in you, ask me anything and I will give it to you. When you talk about abiding, right, and staying forever, I only can think of one thing, that's marriage. Right, not Bobby. We are married forever. We have to stay in the same house forever, isn't it? And I'm saying, it's a good thing, okay? It's a good thing. I think about marriage. And when you pray, right, it's exactly like that. When you abide yourself in the Lord, it means you and God are one. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. It doesn't matter if you have children or not. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because when you abide in the Lord, nothing else matters around you in your world. And I love Jeff with all my heart, I'm telling you. But sometimes I just love to love Jesus. And I thank God he can understand that. I love that I can be alone with the Lord. That's why, single or married, you can still be in love with Jesus. And when you abide in him and he abides in you, then you want a husband, ask love for a husband. He said, you ask anything, I'll give it to you. What? All your needs will be met. And I don't just mean husband or wife. I mean, if you need healing, then you abide in him and ask him and he will give it to you. Abide, to dwell, to not leave. See, what most of us do is that we ask and we spend time with the Lord, maybe like a few months or a few years, and then we don't get the answer and then we give up. And we say, oh, it's no point. Like, I think I take matters into my own hands and just do it my own way. But it says to abide and to stay forever. So do you think that if you do anything wrong, Jesus will just walk away from you? No, he says if you abide in me, and abide means to stay forever, means he never leaves you ever. Whether you think you are the worst person or you did the most unforgivable thing, he will not leave you. He stays faithful. He's kind, he's good, he never changes. That's why I want to stay stuck to Jesus. I love staying stuck to Jesus. And as you begin to abide in him, and as you begin to have intimacy with him, everything in your life will begin to fall into the right place at the right time. Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It says, seek him first. We talk about prayer, that's what I mean. I mean that we need to be alone with the Lord. Do you know in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, God writes God tells the church in Ephesus, you have done everything so well. You pray, you read the word, you give to the poor, you worship. But I have one thing against you. Is that you have lost your first love. Is that you've lost the way you behold me. Jeff and I have been married for 6 years, and then sometimes she asks me, baby, you still love me or not, huh? He said, last time you look at me a bit different. I still love you. But yeah, you see, like that's what God is telling the church in Ephesus. You are doing everything right. You are a wife and you're cooking and you're doing everything. But you lost your first love. You lost the way you behold him. You lost the way it feels in his presence. You lost the way you spend time with him and look into his eyes. You lost the way that everything else feels when he's around. You lost the way it feels when his presence comes and touches you in your room. We are not that church. Calvary Community Church is not a church that has lost its first love. Amen. We are a church that is burning for the Lord, and we will continue to burn for the Lord until we see his face. You know, church, your prayers really matter. When you spend time with the Lord, there are many different kinds of prayers. There's the prayer of intercession when you pray for needs. There's the prayer of battle. Maybe like, you know, you're facing a difficult time and you're fighting the enemy. The enemy is coming against you. Then there's the prayer of intimacy. Every one of your prayer in that moment when you abide with the Lord and you are alone with him and it's just you and him, every one of your prayers matter. They are so important. They are so powerful. They carry so much weight. And I tell you, church, there is a power when you come together and pray. Do you know something? I tell you 2 weeks ago, and I didn't say this to anyone. I was leading worship 2 weeks ago. And on the Saturday service, so this is for you, since I'm preaching today, we were here at pre-service prayer. I always stand or sit there during pre-service prayer. And in my spirit, right, as I was worshiping, right, I saw there were some people already here on Saturday. And I saw the angels of the Lord, okay, in my spirit. I saw the angels of the Lord, like, walking into the sanctuary. Like, they were really very organized in my, like, vision, okay. I saw them, like, coming from here. And they are going here in the side, and they are collecting all the prayers, and then they are leaving, and then they are coming again, and they are leaving and coming again. And I saw that, you know, and I was so like, church, that means, right, every single one of your prayers, when you come into this room and you offer your prayers to God, you offer your worship, every one of it is God is saving them and God is keeping them and He's waiting for the right time. And I believe this is the season, and He's waiting for the right time to answer those prayers. There is the glory of God in this room and in this house. Because of the faithfulness of our fathers and of the generations, there is a glory of God in this room. And there are angels in this room. Every time we worship, there are angels of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, it says, "Now when He had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Your prayers are like an incense before the throne of God. God smells it like a sweet aroma. If someone sprays perfume, like a really strong one here, and everyone can smell it, everyone, oh, so good, right? When God smells that, those are your prayers. He knows the depth. He knows every single word of it. He knows how it sounds, how desperate it sounds. He knows from which part of your heart it's coming from. And our prayers are so important to God. But you see, when you abide yourself in the Lord, you will know that even when you pray and you say, "God, I love You so much. I need You in my life." When you understand the heart of God, "God, I know You're good. You're so good." And then when difficult times come, which they were, when difficult times come, you'll be alone in that room with the Lord in your place, wherever it is, in your car, in your room, wherever it may be. But you will know the heart of God for your situation. So you won't say, "God, I'm so discouraged that this thing is happening. How could You do this to me?" But you'll be like, "God, I can still say that You are good. I can still step back and say that You are kind and You're faithful and You will never ever fail me, because here in this moment, it's just You and me. And as I begin to fall in love with You and You with me, I understand the depths of Your heart for me, and I know that Your plans are good for me." And if the answer to my prayer is no or wait, You are still the prize and not the answer to the prayer. That's how powerful intimacy with God and prayer are. So church, can I just invite every one of you? Because you know what? It's not just when we don't live for ourselves anymore. We're not living for ourselves anymore. It's not our time anymore. It's the time for Jaden and for Joel and for, what's his name? Nathaniel. And what's his name? Jay? JV, it's their time. It's their time now. And how you live your life, the words that you speak, the way that you worship, the way that you pray will affect how they live their lives in the future, will affect how they encounter God and how God meets them in a secret place. That's why it's so important for you and me, church, today to walk in intimacy with the Lord. Because if you love the Lord and His eyes are ever before you, your wife, your children, your generations will experience the favor of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord, and they will encounter the Lord. You and me, It's our time to rise up and be everything that God has called us to be. You know, church, we shouldn't even be promoting prayer altar. Really? It's prayer altar. It's a day where you come together to love the Lord. It's not boring. You can't pray for a few needs and go back. It's not. We are running after the heart of God. That's what we are doing. I'm not, this is not some promotion for prayer altar. Even though I know I'm supposed to do that, but I don't want to tell you to do that, church. Church, you go back and spend time with the Lord. And if you are hungry enough and you are desperate enough, and if there is a churning and a burning in your heart, you will come and offer praises to the Lord. You know why? The angels of the Lord are here and they are coming in this room and they're touching people. They're taking our praise and offering it as incense to the Lord. This room carries the glory of the Lord. This room carries the power of the Lord. And every time you gather in this room and we pray together in this room, something powerful happens, not just here, but in our city and in our nation, in your families and in the nations of the world, church. So I'm not going to promote prayer altar today. You go back and love the Lord, church. You love the Lord. That's all we want, is for you to come and abide in Him and His love. For those of you who have been coming for prayer altar, please continue to come. You know how it is, isn't it? We love the Lord, church. We love the Lord. And we need to continue to love Him. We need to understand His heart. We need to keep looking into His eyes. We cannot afford to have distractions come all around us. Can we remember the time He touched us for the first time? Can we please remember the moments that we had with Him when our whole world was crashing down? I have a place that I can abide in the Lord whenever anything happens in my life. And that is the safest place that I could ever go. And I'm sure you do too. And if you don't, it's time for you, for us, to find that place again. There's no way we can fall asleep in church. You know why? I remember this when I was young. My dad said this, and I'm done with my sermon, okay? I just say this joke and then I'm done. But my dad said this to us in a church service. I remember in Sutra, I remember forever, okay? I was like 12 at the time and I remember this. He said, you know how you always scold people for sleeping in church? You go and wake them up, right? And he said, don't sleep in church. And something he said, then he said, do you know what's the sign and the meaning that you are, because of why you're sleeping in church? It's because your spirit man is not alive. He said, because your spirit man is not alive and you are not alive to God anymore. What has come between you and God? My father said, I didn't say that, huh, my father. Pastor Rajan said. And he said that, and then I remembered it for the rest of my life. I told God, God, help me to be burning for you, my spirit to be burning for you, that no matter who is preaching, whether it's okay or boring or whatever, I won't fall asleep. And I tell you, I never fall asleep in church. There was once I used to work until 3 a.m. in the morning, and then I'll come to church, lead worship. During sermon, I'll feel so tired, but I said, no, I cannot fall asleep because my heart is burning for the Lord. So we cannot fall asleep in church. Please don't fall asleep in church. I'm telling the other church, not you all. We cannot afford to. You know why? If your heart is burning for Him, everything in your life will change, church. Maybe not all your circumstances will change, but your perspective, your heart, and the way you look at things, everything will change. So are we ready to get into the pillars? Are we ready to walk in intimacy with the Lord again? Are we ready to come and pray as the body of Christ to see what God will do in our generation and the generations to come? I tell you, church, more than ever, your children need to see you loving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. If I didn't see my parents love the Lord today, I wouldn't be in the church also. Do you know that your nagging doesn't help as much as your living? Where did that come from? I wasn't supposed to say that. No, really. My mom can nag all she wants. But if I didn't see them love the Lord the way they do, I wouldn't love the Lord this much today. And I tell you, I love the Lord so much. Anything can happen in my life. And this season has been really difficult. Some of my friends know about it. But Man, I love the Lord so much. He's so good. He's never stopped being good. Can we stand to our feet? Some of you are sleeping already. I'm just joking. I'm joking. Everyone is awake today. You know what, church? We're just going to make a covenant with God this evening to fall in love with Him again. Can we just do that? We don't need... it's okay, guys. No, you all know to go. You all can stay, okay? Give them a break. Okay? All right. We're just going to do that. We don't need music instruments. We don't need just maybe keyboard, maybe. And we don't need all that. We just need our heart and the Lord at this moment. So can every eye be closed today? Let's not be distracted. No one walking around. Is it okay if I don't serve communion today, Pastor Betty? Is it okay if I don't serve communion? Oh, I have to serve? Okay. Yes, I know why she said that. Okay. We're going to do that. But everyone, let's just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And I want you to make a covenant with the Lord today, right now. This is your moment with God. Ask the Lord, Lord, bring me back to the moment where I met you the first time, Lord. Lord, if my oil is running out, can you fill it today? Lord, I need you, Jesus. Some of you just need to tell the Lord, Lord, I love you, and you need to feel Him again. You need to feel Him close again to know that He's there and He takes care of everything. Can you just do that right now, all across this place? Just love the Lord. Don't worry about the person on your left and right. Some of you are thinking in your mind, like there's been so many disappointments. Yes, I know, but He loves you. He has good plans for you, church. Ask Him, Lord, what did you think, God, in that moment that was happening to me? Come on, just begin to love the Lord. Everyone, from front to the back. Just fall in love with Him again. Call upon your feet like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love like all upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I'll pour my love on you. Sing it to Him. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love, fall in love with Him, pour on your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on you. Jesus, bring us back to the place where you were everything to us, Lord. Bring us back to the place where we can see your eyes and see your face again. Bring us back to the place where we felt safe in you, where all our hope was in you, Jesus. Come on, can you just tell the Lord? Lord, renew our first love, Lord. Lord, wake us up to pray and love you and seek your face. When we're driving to work, let the glory of God fill our cars, Lord. Let the glory of God fill our rooms where we rest. God, come. Let your angels come. Lord, we want to love you. We want to love you. We want to love you as we step into this new season, God. We don't want to miss anything that you have for us. So, Lord, fill up our oil, God. Fill up our oil. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We want to keep loving you, Lord. Come on, can you make a fresh commitment to the Lord? Lord, I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to offer my prayer to you in intimacy and love. I want to abide in you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And Father, even as we partake of communion this evening, Lord, that this communion will be a symbol and a sign of our covenant with you, Lord. This new covenant that we are making to fall in love with Jesus again, to come back to our altar of prayer again, God. Let it be a blessing unto us and an honor to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Can you just take your time, open your communion. Let's stay in this moment. Like all upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart, I pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love like all upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart, I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on you. You know, church, if you can kneel on your feet, on your knees? Only if you can. If you can't, it's okay. We're going to do this as a surrender, as a mark of surrender to God, and as a covenant that, Lord, as a church, we're coming back to you. As a church, we're coming back to our first love, Lord. And I believe as we're going to do this and we partake of this communion, there's a love of the Father that's being released all across this place. Lord, this is our covenant with you, Lord, our commitment to you. Lord, even as we partake the bread this evening, God, we pray for a renewed hunger and a renewed desire to see your face, Lord. To fall in love with Jesus. To offer our prayers as incense to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, as a hunger, God, for more of you and more of your presence and more of your love. As an awakening, God, in our spirits, God. That our spirits will be awakened, God, to the world that is dying around us, Jesus. Lord, as we partake this bread, let there be a hunger in our hearts and in our spirit, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Everyone, let's partake the bread together. And Lord, let this cup be a covenant of a renewed love and passion for you, Jesus. Let our hearts continue to burn for you until you come back, Jesus. Until you come back, Lord. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Come on, church, sing. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till I see your face. Sing it one more time. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till I see your face. Lord, we want to burn for you. We want to burn for you until we see your face, Lord. So renew your love, renew your passion in our hearts and in our spirit, God, even as we partake of this cup this evening, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can stand to your feet. Let me just pray. Father, I just stretch my hands towards your people. And Lord, even as Calvary Community Church, as we have made this covenant, God, to fall in love with you again, Lord, to keep burning for you, God, to offer our prayers as an incense unto you. Lord, we pray that you will honor every single covenant that has been made in this place this evening, God. And Lord, we ask for a release of the love of the Father like a river, like a wind. Let it flow in our midst right now in Jesus' name. And God, I pray, God, even as we would go back and spend time with you, Lord, every person that is under the sound of my voice will have an encounter with the love of the Father this week, God. That Jesus, you will walk into our rooms. Jesus, that you speak to us. Jesus, that you be so close to us once again, God. And Lord, I stretch my hands towards your people, God. And then even as we step into these seven pillars once again, Lord, we will be so aware of you. We will be so aware of the favor of the Lord. We will be so aware of the miracles that are happening in our lives, Lord Jesus. So I pray for miracles this week. I pray for salvations this week. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit upon your people, God. Lord, I pray for breakthroughs this week, Lord. That money that people have borrowed will just miraculously come back in Jesus' name. And Lord, deals will miraculously come to pass and come through. Every blockages, we cancel it in Jesus' name. And we release the favor of the Lord upon every family, upon every individual, upon every person. Let this week be a week of miracles and signs and wonders. Jesus, we love you. Can we just tell him, Lord, we love you? Yes, Jesus, we love you so much, God. Calvary Community Church, we will love you and we will burn for you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious and loving name. We ask and we pray, and the Church of God said, Amen, amen, amen.